Would you go ahead and bring up, Jeannie, the first verse of Hark the Herald Angels Sing? I'm going to talk a little bit about this hymn today, and we're going to close by singing it. I really appreciate what Jeff did with Away in a Manger to add those verses that tell us about what Jesus came to do and the new life that he came to give us. A whole lot of the Christmas carols, and this is perhaps not a problem, but a whole lot of the Christmas carols focus solely on the birth of Jesus and not what he came to do. And Hark the Herald Angels Sing is my favorite Christmas carol, and because it celebrates his birth, but it also tells us what he came to do and what he came to accomplish by his death on the cross in our place and his resurrection victory to give us new life. But today, if you got your Bible with you, I'm not going to focus on one verse. We're going to be bouncing around through the whole Bible. But I want to start with prayer before we begin. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for the birth of your Son, our Savior Jesus, the eternal Son of God, who took on flesh, who humbled himself to leave the glory of heaven and come among us, born among us just as every one of us has been born, and grew to manhood like us, but without sin, to go to the cross in our place to give us new life. And we thank you that Christ is risen and present here by the power of the Holy Spirit. And speak to us now as we look into your word. And I pray it in Christ's name. Amen. The hymn, Christmas hymn, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, was written by Charles Wesley, one of the greatest hymn writers in the history of the Christian church. He wrote many very familiar hymns, and this is his most familiar Christmas hymn. Great revivalists, great preachers of the gospel have often had a musician who partnered with them to help communicate the gospel. Billy Graham had Cliff Barrows. Dwight L. Moody had Ira Sankey. Phil Moran has Jeff Davis. Yeah. And John Wesley had his brother Charles, who wrote new hymns that were sung at outdoor revival meetings that Wesley held. Did you know that John Wesley was a priest in the Anglican Church? But as often happens when the Holy Spirit brings revival, as Jesus said, you can't put new wine in an old wineskin. It'll break. And there was a great move of the Holy Spirit through the ministry of John Wesley and others. And he was a priest in the Anglican Church, but they drove him out. And so he started doing outside meetings. And by the way, if you were... Was anybody here raised Methodist? Nazarene, but close enough. Yeah, close enough. Nazarene, yeah. Well, for those of you that raised your hands, I'm I'm glad that you finally found the Presbyterians. If you were raised Methodist or Nazarene, you probably heard many, many times. John Wesley, on May 24th, 1738, he wrote in his diary, "I went unwillingly to a meeting on Aldersgate Street." It's in London. And it was a small group gathered in a living room that was studying together the book of Romans. And that day they read Martin Luther's preface to his commentary on the book of Romans. And in that preface, Luther describes his experience of the grace of God when his heart was transformed and he knew that his sins were forgiven and that Christ had come into the world for him. And Wesley said when he heard that, he said, "I felt my heart strangely warmed." Now, that may not sound like much, but for an Englishman who graduated from Oxford University, that's downright Pentecostal. "I felt my heart strangely warmed." And Wesley then began to preach the gospel with the musical help from his brother Charles, and it started a great revival in England. It's called the Great Awakening. You probably studied it. And it jumped the pond to come to America in the 1740s. And tremendous revival, people coming to Christ in faith and discovering the power of Jesus Christ in their lives and the power of the gospel. Once again, one of the hymns that Charles Wesley wrote, and by the way, Charles Wesley was born in 1707. He went to Oxford, as his brother did. We're just going to hark the herald, and I know the angel isn't really named Harold. My grandpa was named Harold. But, and I wanted to name our son Harold after my grandpa, but Charlotte would have none of it. Anyway, a herald is one who brings news. The herald angel is the one who brings the news. "Behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. Unto you is born this day a Savior." And then there was suddenly with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." This first verse is partially based on that text. What you're going to see, what I hope you see, is that this hymn is saturated with Scripture. "Christ is born in Bethlehem, glory to the newborn King." And the angel said, "Glory to God." And the newborn King is God in the flesh. Now on to the next. Back up. Okay. God and sinners reconciled. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18 and 19. Oh, I'm going to start with 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. God and sinners reconciled. Did you know that you need to be reconciled to God? Did you know that apart from Christ, you are at enmity with God? The great English playwright, George Bernard Shaw, was once asked if he had been reconciled to God. And he said, "Reconciled? I didn't know we'd quarreled." He was an atheist. C.S. Lewis once wrote, and it's in Mere Christianity. C.S. Lewis wrote, "We are not people who lack information and simply need better information about God. We are rebels and need to lay down our arms." God and sinners reconciled. 2 Corinthians, the Word of God, 2 Corinthians 5, 19. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. God took the initiative to reconcile us to himself by sending his Son. Okay, now one more. Okay, next slide. Back up. Back up again. Sorry. Where is joyful all ye nations rise? I'm sorry, Jeannie. There you go. This is from Revelation 15 and beginning with verse 3. And these are the angels singing the praise of God. "Great and amazing are your deeds, O Lord God, the Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the nations. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come." Joyful all ye nations rise. Charles Wesley had this verse in mind. All nations. All nations will come and worship you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. The book of Revelation says earlier that before the throne of God, every tribe and tongue and nation will be represented. The gospel will go out to the whole world, and every people group will be included. And that's something important for us, us Americans who sometimes get a little bit self-centered. It's very important for us to remember that the gospel is for the whole world. Every nation will come. Okay, now, okay, next slide. This is Matthew 1:18. I'm going to start with 1:20. An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet Isaiah. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, that's the incarnation. Hail the incarnate deity, incarnate as a baby. Pleased as man with us to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel, God with us, in, as the scripture says. Now one more. Once more about the incarnation. This is John chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 14. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Okay, you can go on to the next slide. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Now, I think you probably know where that title comes from, Prince of Peace, but I'll read it again. Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Now, we often, when we hear that, we often think of world peace, and Christ is going to bring that too when he comes again in great power and glory. But the first peace that Christ brings is peace with God. Remember, apart from Christ, we are at enmity with God. We are opposed to him. We are rebels. And Christ came to bring reconciliation. God took the initiative from his side of the relationship out of love for us. That's why Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. Then, Hail the Son of Righteousness. Notice that that's S-U-N, not S-O-N. Hail the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Listen to Malachi 4:1-2. "For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all of the arrogant and evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Sun of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings, and you shall go out leaping like calves from the stall." Have you ever seen a calf let out from a stall where he's been cooped up for a long time? And they do. They leap and kick. Let me read that once again. But for you who fear my name, the Sun of Righteousness, S-U-N, shall rise. And it's a reference to the coming Christ, a prophecy of the coming Christ. The Sun of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. Christ comes with healing, to heal our broken relationship with God, to heal our broken hearts, to heal our sin-sick hearts, to cleanse us, make us new. Okay, one more, and then we're done. Okay, next slide. Mild he lays his glory by. And that's actually a reference that I'm not going to read. It's from the second chapter of Philippians, where it says that Christ did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but instead humbled himself, took the form of a servant, and came among us humble. Mild he lays his glory by. Second Philippians says he emptied himself of glory. Mild he lays his glory by. It's not a thing to be grasped. Born that we no more may die. He came to give us life, eternal life. Born to raise us from the earth. Born to give us second birth. That was what the ministry of John and Charles Wesley was all about. To challenge people, to invite people to be born anew. And the scripture reference here is 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Born to raise us from the earth, born to give us second birth, and that's why we praise God singing glory to the newborn King. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the ministry of Charles Wesley and this wonderful hymn that reminds us of so many truths of the gospel and reminds us why Jesus came and the work that Jesus, by the power of the Spirit, is doing in the world right now, even today, even in this room. We thank you and we praise you and we join our voices, glory to the newborn King. Amen.